have that same problem. Well, the Promised Land, the title of this morning's message is actually, "The Promised Land is Yours." We're going to be in Numbers chapter 13, going into chapter 14, the book of Numbers, all the way back in the Old Testament. We have finished our series on the good news, finished that up last week, and so kind of thinking about what would I say this morning is kind of a last message, I guess. And so I wanted to, God kind of brought this to me and kind of going forth here. But what's happening here is God is preparing to send the nation of Israel into the land of the promise. This was the whole point of coming out of Egypt, was to take them to the promised land. He had promised Abraham a long time ago, "I have a land for you. I'm going to do this and do this." And they've been sidetracked, and they've gone here, and they've spent years in slavery, and they've been released. And now they're headed there. And if you remember anything from our Wednesday night Exodus story, one of the things that we always find with the people of Israel as they were wandering in the desert, they had these great circular moments of, "Yay, everything's good," to, "Oh, my life's horrible." It didn't matter what God did. "Yay, we've got food. Oh, we're going to starve tomorrow. Yay, what about water? No, we don't have," and just back and forth. And every time they turned around, they seemed to want to go back to where they came from. And one of the things that I believe I've learned along the way as a believer in Christ is one of the things that you always have to guard against is looking back. See, God is a living God. God has not stagnated. God has not stopped. He is consistently moving and constantly moving. And we need to move as well. We need to keep moving forward. Every time in Scripture somebody has gone back, looked back, or returned, bad things have happened to them, have they not? Think of Lot's wife. And I've seen a picture of it, and one day I want them. I want a salt and pepper shakers. One of them is Lot, the other one's his wife turned back. Like, then you can guess which one's the salt. Right? We know that she didn't, that was funny, but she didn't fare well. And this happens all throughout Scripture as people start to turn and look back. And you see this all throughout the Exodus and in this first few books of the Old Testament. Every time the nation of Israel would start moving forward, good things would happen to them. And then one bad thing would happen. They'd immediately, "Let's go back to Egypt." Oh, and this is where we are. So Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 17, we're going to read. I'm going to skip a few verses. So listen out. I'll tell you what verse number I'm jumping to, but it'll also be on the screen. It says this: "Then Moses sent them out to spy on the land of Canaan. And he said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or like strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. But be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land.' Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land." Verse 23. "Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between the two of them on a pole." Now, FYI, that's a big cluster of grapes that it takes two people to carry, okay? That's not the bag of grapes at the grocery store, but, all right. "They also brought some of the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out of the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And look, this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there.'" Verse 30. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Chapter 14, starting in verse 6. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation, the children of Israel, saying, "The land we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord for the fear of the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, help us to receive it as we need to and apply it where we do. Jesus, we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, before I get into it, there was one verse that I think we could probably preach an entire sermon here. And it's verse 33. It says, "There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." There's something about setting the stage of how you look to yourself and how other people see you. Because they feared, the others didn't fear them. Now, as we get into this, there's a lot of stuff, and I know I've probably preached this sermon before, and at some point in life, and there's always good stuff that comes out of it. And I love this story. Go look at the land. See where we're going. And so the first point I want us to understand this morning is there is nothing wrong with analyzing the potential struggles and victories ahead, is there? There's nothing wrong with it. Scripture tells us who doesn't count the cost. Look at what you got to do. And notice I said potential struggles. Because the reality is as we move forward, there are things that we are going to perceive, that we are going to see along the way that might be a struggle. Or that might be a victory. But it's how we see them. And what I really want us to do this morning, what I really want you all to understand is, as I'm leaving, as you begin the search for the next pastor, the future of what happens here at Hague Baptist Church, there's nothing wrong with analyzing the potential struggles you're going to have. You're going to want to sit down and go, "Hey, what about this? What are we going to do here? How is this going to happen?" But please don't get so caught up in that you forget to go, "Well, look, we can still do this. Look, we've got this." There's nothing wrong with it. God told him to go spy out the land. Moses told him, "Go look." He gave him specific things to look at, didn't he? How many people? What are they like? What kind of food's there? You can tell Baptists come straight from the Jewish people, right? What kind of food they got? Did they have chicken? All right, I mean, it's just, how are their cities? Are they like tents? Are they like strongholds? What are we up against? It's always good to have a plan. Now, if you've ever been in a situation, though, and I only know it from training in the military because we had a plan. And some people made plans that weren't good plans. I remember one of our training exercises, one of the first things they do is, back in the old days, you set up a perimeter and you have to dig your foxhole. And you build your foxhole to certain specifications, but other than that, they don't tell you what else to do. Two guys in the other squad next to us, they decided what would be awesome is if instead of putting their tent up somewhere else, they use their foxhole as a place to sleep. So they put a tarp over their foxhole. Keep the rain out, keep them dry. Not a bad plan. until the enemy force attacked us, got close enough to drop a tear gas grenade inside their foxhole. Now, the one thing a tarp will help hold down is tear gas. It doesn't let it escape. The other thing that they realized they couldn't do is they did not secure an exit out from under their thing because the tarp was in its way. And sometimes you have a plan, but what happens to our plan when stuff really begins to happen? Right? Sometimes it goes by the wayside, doesn't it? And we're scrambling. Now, I'm one of those that my brain works in such a way is that I plan or try to plan for every eventuality. And normally what I do is I plan for every worst-case scenario. They're going to do this. They're going to try to shoot me. They're going to... whatever version of it is. I think the worst possible thing. And luckily, so far, I've been blessed that none of that has ever happened to me. But there's nothing wrong with analyzing. Church, you're going to need to look at what's coming up, what's going on. Identify those areas that are going to be problematic, but look at those areas that, hey, we're going to keep rolling on here, no problem. Number two, God's blessing is there, but it's also often accompanied by hardship, isn't it? Was this a land flowing with milk and honey? Yes. Was this a land that had some amazing fruit? We already talked about how big the bunch of grapes was, and they had two people carrying it on a stick. That's a lot of grapes. Yes. But there was bountiful blessing there. But there's always a caveat, isn't there? Wait, there's other people there. We got to deal with them. Yeah. God has a blessing for Haig. I believe that. God has a blessing. But what is it going to look like? I can't tell you. Will there be hardships? Yes, most likely. That's just the reality of it. But never forget that God's blessing is there. And sometimes the greatest things you have to get, some the things you work hardest for. The only trade-off in that is salvation, because we had to do nothing for that. That's the greatest thing we'll ever have, right? And we could do nothing for it. But sometimes those things you work hard for. As a little kid, man, you cut grass, you did stuff to try to earn something so you could buy something. You treasured that. It's that thing your kids start to learn as they mature and move out and start paying for their own stuff. It's funny how when they were at your house, they wouldn't clean nothing, wouldn't pick nothing up, wouldn't put it back like, but now it's theirs. They had to pay for it and they have to pay to replace it. Well, they're washing it off, drying it off, putting it where it needs to be, make sure it's protected, aren't they? God's blessing is there, but sometimes we have to work for it. There's some hardship that goes along with it. Number three, don't focus on the negative, or you'll miss the blessing. That's hard to do, isn't it? Look at all this fruit. Look at all this bountiful stuff that we have. But we can't go there. No, we can't do it. Yes, it's a good land. Yes, I know God's promised it to us, but there's just too many people. There's too many cities. Have they learned nothing along the way? I am always amazed. I don't know why, because we're the same way. Haig Baptist has been here, what, almost 110 years now? This will be the 110th anniversary this year. It hasn't gone anywhere, has it? Has it had its up and downs? Absolutely. And if God's will is so desired that Haig Baptist still be here for another 110 years, guess what? It's going to be here. I'm guessing most of us ain't. I don't know, some of y'all are pretty tough. Y'all might hang around. But to focus on the negative, we're going to miss the blessing. And this often happens, especially in churches, when there's transition from one to another. And you always find there's usually two, well, maybe three. There's the people that are like, well, it is what it is. We'll miss him, but okay. There's those that, I don't know what we're going to do with the guy. He's just gone. I don't know if we can go. No, I'm saying y'all are not that, about that at me. All right. You're just worried about it. Then there's is the group that's always like, well, thank God he's gone. Right? Not here. Thank you. Somebody said it. I didn't get enough amens on that one. But no. But that's what happens. And if you focus too much on what was, and then the struggle you're currently in, you may miss the blessing that's coming. And it may not be, the blessing may not be found for y'all in the next pastor. The blessing you may receive may be found in somebody that is filling in until the next pastor comes. But if we're so focused on looking at the next guy that we skip over everyone that's here, we might miss something. Number four, this is hard, especially the way we operate as churches. But guess what? The majority is not always right. We believe as a church that through the power of the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to one of us, the Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us, and as we vote and as we proceed for things, that we believe the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us. So we'll fall back on that. Now in this case, the majority, 10 out of the 12 people said, we can't go. Only two said, we can take them. Who was right? The 10 wound up costing Israel a lot of time. Out of those 12, only two of them actually walked into the promised land. The two that said, yes, we can go. The majority is not always right. We have to be careful. The voices we listen to. And it wasn't just these 10. They weren't just working. It would have been one thing if they were just like, I don't think we can do it. I don't think we can do it. You know what they did? They whipped the entire group, the entire nation of people up against the others. Walking around, going, we're never going to make it. We're not going to do it. We can't do this. And everything. Yeah, well, you're right. We're not going to do this. To the point where if you keep reading, as a parent, you look at your child and go, I'm about this far. I'm about this close. Next chapter, that's paraphrase of what God says, I'm about this close. About done with you people. How long must I endure their unbelief? To the point where Moses is begging for their lives again. Because every time something bad happened, we want to go back to Egypt. They were ready to elect a new leader. Let's get rid of God's appointed man. Let's get rid of Moses. Let's find somebody new, and we're going back. At least we knew what we had there. Church, I'm going to be honest with you. Two things that kill the churches. Staying back. Are trying to get back to the way it used to be. If we don't grow, if we don't move forward, if you ain't growing, you're dying. Heard a guy talking one time. He was telling the story of being in Vietnam and hiking and kind of gotten dragged down by some different things and fell behind the rest of his unit. And he got to this nice, lush place, and the rest of the terrain had been hit by napalm. It burned up, and it was nasty and hot. And he got to this place, it was a nice cool stream, kind of took his boots off and was able to just relax. And it was nice and cool, it was a jungle kind of around, and the sun's beginning to set as he's sitting there in this nice lush atmosphere. And the realization dawned on him, wait, I can't stay here. Sitting here leaves me exposed to the enemy. Of all the places that I've been marching today, the one place the enemy can hide is right here where it seems the most comfortable, where it's the most lush and green. The one place I can always see the enemy is up where the mountaintop has been burnt off. And for a moment, what seemed like a relaxing thing, as he put his boots back on. Now, I learned this the other day when we were chasing our dogs, when I couldn't get around a puddle and ran right through it. There's nothing more joyous than running around when your shoes and socks are sopping wet, is there? Now his boots are soaked, and so are his socks, and blisters are beginning to form as he's marching, trying to get up the hill to catch up with his people. If we find the spot that's comfortable and we sit there, we're in danger. We got to keep moving. Even if it's uncomfortable, you got to keep moving. Number five. Remember, God is in control, no matter what. God is in control. We look around and we look at God and go, why? Why did this happen? Why this? Why that? Why now? Legitimate questions. That sometimes we have to just set aside and go, well, God, you're in control, amen. I trust you. No matter what. Church, no matter what happens from this day forward, God has you. God is in control of Hague Baptist Church. God is in control in the lives of each one in this room. Whether it's stay here, whether it's move on, whether it's join here to help build up something, whoever's next, God is in control. God already has them picked out. God had them picked out before I came here. Did y'all know that? Now again, at some point we'll all sit back and go, well, why did we bring him here? Maybe. And maybe one day God will go, all right, look, here's what you did. I've said it before. I thought our church growing up was super hard on our pastors because it seemed like every year and a half to 2 years, one was leaving. They were right out the door. But as I look back, as I got older and I began to realize what was happening, I watched where each one of them took that church to a certain point that only they could take them to. God sometimes likes to use specialists to get his job done, doesn't he? And I don't know if the next guy's a specialist for y'all, or if you're going to have a general practitioner, I don't know. But God does, because God's in control, right? Maybe the next one's a specialist. Jeremiah 29:11, y'all all know this one, right? For I know the plans I have for you. It doesn't go on to say plans to make you miserable, make your life just as hard as it can be, make you one of the most sour Christians. That's not what it says, does it? For I know the plans I have you. For you, this is the Lord's declaration, plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Hague Baptist, God knows the plans He has for you. Plans for your welfare, not for disaster. Plans to give you a future and a hope. As we wrap this up, and what you see in this story is there are two options. Two options that you can choose going forward. We've already said stuff is going to happen. We already said there's going to be obstacles. There were obstacles in their way. One of the first obstacles they run into, as you reading on the scripture, was a city named what? Jericho. It was built so large it had walls that chariots could race on top of it. That's a thick doggone piece of concrete, isn't it? Imagine a wall as thick as the road out in front of our church right here. People lived in the wall. And you're just a little old ragtag army with a few swords. This ark that the tablets of God was in, and several guys with horns. What's that going to do for a city? Well, we know what happened, doesn't it? Took this crazy battle plan and just marched around the city, doesn't it? How did God knock down the wall? With the shout of its people and the sound of music. The hills weren't alive, the walls were knocked down. That's what happened to that sound of music. They blew their horns and the people shouted. They walked right into Jericho. There's going to be obstacles. Sometimes obstacles are there for a reason. So here's your two options. Number one, you can see every obstacle as a reason not to proceed. Sure, you can look at your circumstance and go, look, there's only 10 of us, there's only 12 of us. We don't have the finances to do this. We can't. We shouldn't even try. There is that option. Our number two, see every obstacle as an opportunity for God. God, you know there's only 10 of us, there's only 12 of us. God, you know our finances. God, you know where we're at. You know what we have and don't have. So God, we're going to watch what you're going to do. In some respects, I'll be honest, I'm sad. I don't want to go. It's not just because I don't want to pack my house. That's part of it. I love you guys. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Hague Baptist, I love each and every one of you. I said it earlier. I may not be here, but I'm always a pastor of Hague Baptist Church. Not the pastor, a pastor of Hague Baptist Church. You will always be in my heart. You will always be in my prayers. And so there's a part of me that is sad to say goodbye. We're Christians. I'm not going to say goodbye. See you later. Amen? But there's another part of me that's super excited. Not because of where I'm going, but because of what God's going to do here. Because when you open up and you allow God to move, if you'll be that second person and say, God, there's things in our way. It's for you. It's an opportunity. We're right behind you, God. We're following you every step of the way. God's going to do something amazing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you are in control. We thank you that you love us, that you have a plan for us. That you have a plan for Hague Baptist Church, God. I'm excited to see what you're going to do for the future here. Thank you for the opportunity to have been a part of what you've done here. Bless each and every one that is currently a part of the ministry here and that will be a part of the ministry in the future as they reach this community with the gospel. God, I pray that you just bless the socks off of them. Holy Spirit, if there's anyone here that needs you this morning, that needs to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, just speak to them right now, Holy Spirit. Move in their hearts. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.